Proudly presented by Provident Payments, this is Hometown Heroes, celebrating everyday Americans who answer the call of duty.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and our visit with 98-year-old Arthur Grabiner of Queens, New York. During World War II, he served aboard the attack transport USS Lawrence. These days, he devotes much of his time to keeping the history of World War II alive. Mr. Grabiner won't celebrate his 99th birthday until December, but perhaps the most well-known number 99 on the planet extended a special honor Mr. Grabiner's way. New York Yankees superstar Aaron Judge recently held his annual All Rise Foundation All-Star Gala in Manhattan. I had the privilege of again serving as one of the MCs for the event, and again a World War II veteran led us all in the Pledge of Allegiance. I'm going to let you listen to Arthur Grabiner doing exactly that. He received a standing ovation before he began, and you'll hear that too, but the cheering really intensified once he finished.
And he's going to lead us all in the Pledge of Allegiance. Mr. Grabiner?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Again, that was at the All Rise Foundation All-Star Gala in New York. Thanks again to Aaron Judge and his family for being intentional about honoring those who have served our country. A few months earlier, when Judge's number was retired at his alma mater, Fresno State, he went out of his way to shake the hand of 103-year-old B-29 pilot Roger Jensen, whose story you've also heard on Hometown Heroes. Arthur Grabiner is no stranger to those kinds of stages, and as I mentioned earlier, he's going to be recognized for his military service February 8th at the New York Islanders NHL contest against the Tampa Bay Lightning. You'll find an array of photos from Mr. Grabiner's adventures on the Hometown Heroes Facebook page. And let's get back to his World War II adventures aboard APA-153, the attack transport USS Lawrence. So you got there right about the time that the kamikaze phenomenon really started to show itself. What did you know about that before you saw it with your own eyes?
We heard about it. Now, when we went to the Philippines, our lead ship, which we were always that, and we were like we were married. We did everything together. They were hit, and they lost a lot of personnel, and it was by a kamikaze. I didn't see it. They were up front, and my ship was in the back. My kamikaze, we were in the invasion of Okinawa. First, about a couple miles out from sea, we discharged our troops. Now, while there, the second morning, we go back, and we go what they call the zigzag formation. There are two lines of ships. They zig and zag on a given time. Let me say, nobody, none of my ship was okay. The ship in front of me got out of order, and he was 400 yards off my port side, the left side. He opened up going straight. Little cloud there, 5 minutes or six in the morning, all of a sudden comes out and hits this ship. Some of the personnel were blown overboard, some were killed, some had all kinds of wounded. At that point, I was a lookout on a bridge, had binoculars, and next to me was the executive officer, Lieutenant Livingston. What happened? We're watching the ship go and get hit, and all of a sudden, he screams into the PA, says, "Make smoke, make smoke, make smoke." All of a sudden, billows of smoke. I couldn't see my hand. We were lucky the people, radar men, kept us from colliding. It came that afternoon. We got orders. We will report on deck. Every ship in our task force, all the crew would go on top deck, dressed in the white uniforms and stand at ease. At a given, you went stood at attention. Beluga start blowing taps on every ship simultaneously. This was the largest funeral I ever attended. They take the deceased, they put him in a weighted canvas bag, and they go to the side. They have the American flag over the canvas bag, and then they slide them into the ocean. They retrieve the American flag, and it's emotional. But we go back out to sea. I'm ashamed to tell you, the crap game started again. This is how we were attuned. These things did not bother us. And this was our way of life.
Well, I'm just curious if either then or now you think about that scene, that burial at sea, and I'm sure everybody listening can imagine the sound of taps while you're taking in this somber moment. Is there part of you that looks at those canvas bags and says, I could have been in one of those?
We thought of it, but we forgot about it. Mm-hmm. We were brave, not going to hit us. And we had an attitude, gung-ho.
So we've talked about a couple of the invasions that you participated in your APA. I'm just curious, how about the weather? Did you hit any of those typhoons or bad storms?
The enemy was one thing. The weather was terrible. We were, you know, the Great Circle, United States to the Philippine Islands. You go up north and circle, that's the shortest way. Here we have gone from United States, I don't know what port it was, and we're on our way. We hit typhoon, and instead of being out here, we were up here in the Aleutian Islands. It was terrible. Nobody was permitted to go on deck. You secured the portholes, all the other hatches you closed. You had no control, your bobs and everything, and you're lucky you made it out of it. Out there. It's heart-wrenching. We hit the equator. They gave us salt pills. Bumped my puppet, and I got stomach upset and everything. The next day, I pulverized the salt pill, took it, never had a problem all my days in the Navy. Never had seasickness thereafter.
Even in the typhoon?
Typhoon, no more.
And can you give us a taste for how you experienced that typhoon aboard ship? I mean, were you strapped to something? Were you holding on?
I sat in my office and everybody was below deck. Let me say this. We had ships that went around. The destroyers would circle around. They picked up vibrations beneath our ship. And all of a sudden, I'm sitting in my office. Everything is secured on the ship. And here, bang, 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 five depth charges below us. Whether they hit anything or not, they never told us, and I don't know. They had sonar, which they get vibrations beneath in the ocean. We just could see in the future out there, radar.
So they thought there was a submarine that was going to attack?
They gave us, they said this was, it was usual. That there was some vibrations. It could have been our submarines down there. I don't know. But you forgot about it, and you moved on. Everybody's had the same thought. We never worried about it. We're going to make it.
And you did. And, you know, you told us your memory about December 7th, the start of the war for America. What about the end of the war? Do you have a VJ Day memory?
I was working on a top deck, from my office or my other area on a ship, and scuttled through. The radio man picked up some radio message that they dropped a big bomb. What it was, we didn't know. They didn't tell us. Okay. The next day, they tell us, drop another big bomb, blah, blah. We were on maneuvers then, one of the outer islands in Hawaii. We got our orders to go back to Pearl Harbor. And we were there, and we picked up 1,500 army troops go into Japan. Now, in the 1500 were 500 special men. They were all native Hawaiians. They were of Japanese extraction. They spoke fluent Japanese, could write, read, and we were taking them to be our interpreters.
So you went back to take those occupation troops?
That's when we took them and 500 of them and another 1,000 of regular troops.
Did you get to go ashore in Japan?
Yes. Cigarettes were currency in the Pacific, and I understand the same thing in Europe. And we put a pack of cigarettes in the heel of a shoe, and we went to the second day in Yokosuka, Japan. The letters gave us shore leave to go, and I went there, and there was a Japanese individual dressed in their attire, and I gave him one cigarette, and he posed with me. Two enemies.
The power of a cigarette gave you this souvenir. And I'll put this up at hometownheroesradio.com. That's a good-looking sailor there, by the way. Was that a little surreal to be walking around on Japan after everything you'd been through?
Well, we were the boss there. We went in. The guy had a shoe shop. They went in. They took his inventory. We walked around there. And we were the victors.
And I'm sure you were thinking about, when do I get to go home, huh?
Not then. We ran around all over the Pacific, and then we took old troops home later on. When our term came, it was almost a year later.
Who's your favorite United States president and why?
Truman. He was the president authorized the dropping of the two atomic bombs that ended the war. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here.
Arthur Grabiner is not the first World War II veteran to share that thought on Hometown Heroes, but you sure could hear the sincerity in his voice, couldn't you? It's time for our final break, but when we come back, his honor flight experience and also what it was like to visit Pearl Harbor with the Best Defense Foundation for the 80th anniversary of that day of infamy. Hometown Heroes will be right back after this. Hey, do you ever have those moments where you realize you've been settling for less than the best for way too long? Sometimes we just accept the status quo without looking around for better ways to do things. And I gotta tell you, when it comes to your money, I think I've found a better way with EECU. Just take a look at myeecu.org and I think you'll see why. EECU is not a bank. It's a not-for-profit credit union that's all about taking care of you, the member. That's one of the reasons EECU just keeps growing and growing. Over 350,000 members now in 12 different California counties and access to more than 30,000 co-op ATMs and free online and mobile banking. What I love most is how EECU always goes above and beyond to serve the community. A decade ago, the leadership and generosity of EECU helped establish Central Valley Honor Flight. By the end of this year, more than 1,800 veterans will have seen their memorials in Washington, D.C. for free. And that's just one example of the community involvement that EECU takes oh so seriously. Pick up the phone and become a member today. 1-800-538-3328. That's 1-800-538-3328.